able to stand up the front as I get to be encouraged by you lot singing, and very beautiful this morning. I've had the privilege, while Ash has been away, to be leading our young people on a Friday night at Impact. And over the last sort of eight sessions, nine in total that we've got, we've been doing the whole Bible from the beginning all the way through Genesis to Revelation. And on Friday, we saw that Jesus has come, the kingdom of God is here. So now is the time to get to know God, to tell people about him, to become more like Christ, and live in the light of his word. And that's been an exciting journey to see. But it's also a reminder that we've still got one more session left, that kingdom's going to see its final fulfillment when Jesus comes again. And that brings us nicely in this part of the session. Because of that, it is right that we come back to God to acknowledge him, to confess that we fall short of what he calls us to, that we need his grace to sustain us. And we're going to do that, acknowledge that with the words of our confession, and we're going to say that and declare that together. So let's say together, most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. We're coming to the end of our series in Colossians today, and we're going to have our final reading, which Penny is going to come and read to us now. Thank you, Penny.
The reading is taken from Colossians 4, verses 2 to 18, and can be found on page 1184. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always resting in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and Synnympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. We come to the point in our service where our young people will be leaving us to go to their group. So if you are aged 3 to school years 6, then it's through the door over there at the back. If you're visiting, you've got young people in that age group, you're more than welcome to join them. They'd love to get to know you some more. Before the young people go out, let me pray for them. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for the blessing of children in our church family. We pray for them as they learn more about you. May you put your word in their hearts that they may grow up to love and serve you. And we thank you for their leaders. We pray that you bless them with all the wisdom they need to share your word with them. Amen. While our young people go out, do catch up with the person next to you. Say hello, encourage them this morning. Fantastic. If I can break back into your conversations there. It always feels mean to interrupt you, just get going and then you have to come back down. There's plenty of time after the service to continue that. Before we continue with our worship, a few bits of church family news. So this evening, it's 6:30 here at St Andrew's for refreshments, for evening service. John's going to be preaching, I believe, Matthew 13, and about why he often taught in parables. So that would be a good time to learn some more from God's words. We've also got the monthly prayer gathering. So again, Tuesday, 7:45 for 8 p.m. start, and this is at St Luke's. So those who used to come, don't go to the Memorial Hall as before, go to St Luke's, all that. Vote for your favourite song and hymn that's been going on. It says here, voting closes today. When I first read that, it was a bit of urgency, but also excitement, as I want to find out. It's been going on for weeks. What have you all voted for? What are you most encouraged by? I feel like this has been built up, so I'm looking. I don't know when it's going to be announced, what the church's favourite sort of song is, but I look forward to that when that comes. And then lastly, a number of times at the front, you may have heard of Warm Spaces happening. And you might be thought, what is Warm Spaces? Well, luckily today, we're going to hear a bit more from that. And John and Pete is going to come up and share a bit more. So thank you, John.
Thanks, Tim. Morning, all. What's going on here? I'm walking. This is never going to work, is it? Look at this. It's come apart. Warm Spaces is everywhere at the moment, isn't it? Warm Spaces is the whole of the place.
But Warm Spaces is a group that meets. It's the history of it is that, do you remember way back when, first of all, the cost of utilities went really sky high? I mean, it's still high, isn't it? Went really, really sky high pretty much all of a sudden, and lots of different places opened up to provide a warm space so that people who might not be able to afford the heating or weren't going out so much because of the cost of living, it gave somewhere free for people to come along to. And Warm Spaces started at, well, we tried it at both St. Luke's and the Memorial Hall. It didn't work at the Memorial Hall for some reason. Don't know why, just didn't. But it did work at St. Luke's. And it's been running ever since then. I think then it was probably early 2022 or late 21 or something. Or was it late 22? I can't remember. It's been running for a while. Anyway, Pete's going to tell us what Warm Spaces is like.
Well, first of all, Warm Spaces takes place on a Tuesday at St. Luke's. It wasn't me. The guests arrive for 11:30. As they arrive, they're offered a drink. We then serve soup and bread. We serve it in mugs in case there's anybody amongst us who's not well coordinated. This is followed by sandwiches, then sometimes by cake, and then even more drinks. It's not quite the Ritz, but we do have red and white checked tablecloths, and in my world, it doesn't get any posher than that, trust me. The guests have usually left by about 1 o'clock, and we're usually home about 1:30, ready for a cup of tea and a nap, now that we're at that funny age. The helpers at the moment are Lynn and Tony, who most of you know, Judith, who's joined us fairly recently, June from St. Luke's, and Sue, myself. At this point, you don't need to avert your eyes or hide behind the pews to make sure I don't catch your eye, ready to nobble you later as a volunteer. We have a rota until the end of August. And no doubt, since John's in charge, he'll want to review the whole situation then. The reason for saying a few words during today's session is because we do have space for a few more guests. To make this more inviting, I would like to emphasise that the food is free. It's not one of those situations where they say it's free and then ask for a donation. It is free. You don't have to go to church to be welcome, so that anybody is welcome from wherever they are. And the main purpose is not the food, really. It's the friendship and conversation. And so that's what we try to offer. We feel it's very, very easy to come. We don't, however, provide transport. If you would like to come, or you know someone who might like to join us, can you just let me know after the service? And then we've got some idea of numbers for perhaps the next few weeks. So we'd rather that than people just turn up and we get a rush and we need to go out for more tins of tomato soup. Thank you very much.
Brilliant, thanks Pete. If you forget to let anybody know that you want to come along, just rock up anyway. And if we do run out of soup, Tesco's is over the road. So we can just nip over there and get a couple of tins of soup. So just rock up if you'd like to. It's for any age, but it does tend to be people who have retired because it's during the day. I turn up sometimes. I haven't retired, far from it. If you want to come along, do come along. It's a lovely place. Brilliant people who volunteer to help. Brilliant people to chat with. So do come along. It'd be lovely to see you.
I'm always tempted to then say that you never retire from sharing the gospel. So you're going to keep going. We're going to continue our time in worship now. With a song that is Light of the World. Again, the words speak for themselves. Stand when the music begins.
Step down into darkness, open my eyes. things that me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. And you're together lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glory is in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. And you're together lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I never know how much it cost to see my sin on that cross, and I ever know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. And you're together lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. And you're together lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Thank you, do take your seats. Always a reminder singing that song of why we're here. And as part of that worship, we're going to continue with the words of our creed together, that encouragement of what the church believes. So let's encourage one another with the words of creed. We believe in God, Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts by grace through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God, Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high and speaks us clearly through his word, the Bible. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Now, it's time our service for John is going to come and bring the word to us in our last sermon on Colossians. So, thank you, John.
Well, do turn back to page 1184 and let me pray while you're doing that. Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you for your kindness in preserving it for us. Thank you that you wrote it. through the Apostle Paul in this case, and you speak it to us through your Spirit. So, Father, please would you be teaching us, changing us, and growing us by your Spirit through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, what is genuine Christian spirituality? That's been Paul's central concern all the way through Colossians, hasn't it? And at the heart of the answer to that question, as we've seen, and as we've spent time in this letter, genuine Christian spirituality is rooted in Jesus. So chapter 2, verse 7, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Genuine Christian spirituality is lived out in the world. So chapter 2, verse 6, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. And genuine Christian spirituality isn't concerned with added requirements of super spirituality, hyper-legalism, or showy religion, as some of those, like the dodgy salesman we met earlier on in the letter, would add to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's because Jesus is everything. He's all we need. No additives needed. He's the one who created all things. He's the one for whom all things were created and through whom all things hold together. He's the head of his body, the church. He's absolute Lord of this creation and the next into which he was the firstborn. And through faith in him, God the Father has, chapter 1, verse 12, has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his holy people, the saints, in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Praise God! This is wonderful news, isn't it? No wonder Colossians is soaked through with thankfulness. And so as we reach the last bit, reach the end of the letter, having seen how living as Christians affects how our spirituality... I'm going to start that sentence again. I'm really sorry. It's been a long week. As we reach the end of the letter, having seen how living as Christians affects how we spiritually dress... our home lives, our marriages, our parent-children relationships, our families, our workplace, there's one question left hanging, I think, and it's this. What does rooted Christian spirituality lead to as we live it out now? If we're rooted in Christ, what will our lives look like going forward? And to help us see that, there are two points at the beginning of our reading that Paul makes. Firstly, be devoted in prayer, verses 2-4. And secondly, be wise in the world, verses 5-6. And don't worry, we will touch on verses 7-18 as well. So first, be devoted to prayer. What even does that mean? What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean making a big, ostentatious show of your prayer life. Remember the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector? The Pharisee saying, "I'm praying to you, God. Aren't I great? I'm going to make sure everybody sees me." That's not what devoting yourself to prayer is like. But it does mean taking prayer seriously. If you're a longer-in-the-tooth Christian, then you'll be devoted to prayer already. And by being devoted to prayer, you'll naturally, without even realizing it, be encouraging others to pray by setting an understated example to them. And longer-term, mature Christians here do exactly that. You know, sometimes mentioning that you've been praying for someone or something just because that comes up naturally in conversation. Offering to pray for or even with somebody else. Going to our monthly prayer gathering when they can. Not out of religious duty or anything like that, but because of being devoted to prayer, including being devoted to praying together as God's family. If you're a newer Christian, you'll be watching the example of more mature Christians learning how to become devoted in prayer. I won't embarrass anybody by mentioning them by name, but if you're new to church and you aren't quite sure whose example in this to follow, and you want to be tipped off onto about who to follow, come and have a chat with me afterwards. We're blessed by having plenty of mature Christians here to choose from, praise the Lord. Someone who's devoted to prayer is watchful, verse 2. They're taking note of who to pray for, making mental notes, perhaps even keeping a notebook. I saw one of my old friends had posted on Facebook a thankful post saying that she's grateful for a friend that she prays with. And she had a picture of a notebook that she'd been given, I think, 12 years ago. And between them, they kept this notebook going as they prayed together week by week. And she's just filled it up and was looking back through it, overflowing with thankfulness for how God has answered the prayers that she and her friend had prayed. They're watchful, and they're also thankful. Someone who's devoted to prayer will be thankful, thankful for all of what Jesus has done for them now in this life as they look back, as my friend has looked back, but also thankful for all that Jesus has done for them on the spiritual meta-narrative scale. Thankful for what he did on the cross. Thankful for making them part of his kingdom. Thankful for their church family that they've been brought into. Thankful for their creation, their preservation, and all the blessings of this life. And for so, so much more too. And the Christian devoted to prayer won't just be praying for the people they know and the ministry of their own church, although they'll very much be praying for those things, they'll also have their mind trained on the wider Christian world, the wider Christian family. So as Paul asked the Colossians to pray for him, even though they'd not met him personally, so we'll be praying for our mission partners at home and abroad. Most of us won't have met any of them. Some of us will have met some. The other gospel-centered churches in Hull and the local area beyond will have met some of the church leaders from there and some of the congregation members from those churches too. We can pray for them, can't we? The persecuted church in other countries that we're all too aware of. Very much worth praying for Iran at the moment, one of the world's fastest growing churches that comes under persecution because it's illegal to convert to be a Christian and difficult, even if you are part of the historic Christian community, to remain Christian. Somebody devoted to prayer will be praying for the work of organizations like the Christian Institute, the Keswick Convention, and Oak Hill College, and so on. And probably we'll be praying for loads more besides. And notice what it is that Paul specifically asks them to pray for. That God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Now you might have spotted that Paul's in prison. He mentions it in our reading, that he's locked up at the moment. He doesn't pray for a door for himself to get out. He prays for a door for the message. The message of the gospel. The rooted Christian who's devoted to prayer will pray specifically that God will open doors for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for church leaders and evangelists and for others to walk through with it, so that many hear the gospel and believe, just like they themselves once heard the gospel and believed. And they won't just pray for open doors for the gospel, but also that those proclaiming the gospel in those places and to those new people would proclaim it clearly, as they should. Be devoted in prayer. Secondly, be wise in the world. Verses 5 and 6. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Notice here how the command to the Christian Colossian congregation is not a command to be doing the same thing that Paul was doing and was asking to be prayed for while he was doing. Paul and the others, and many still today, are specially set apart to proclaim the gospel, set aside to break new ground for the gospel, set aside to make Jesus known to people that they don't know necessarily, and maybe have never met before and might never meet again. But the command to the congregation, to Christians who aren't specifically set aside for that ministry, the command to most of us is to be wise how you act in front of outsiders, that is, non-believers. That means to live distinctive Christian lives, to dress right, as chapter 3 puts it, to conduct your affairs in a distinctly Christian manner, at home, in your family, in your marriage, at work. Chapter 3 again, beginning of chapter 4. Then the unbelievers that you mix with in your family, in your social circle, in your workplace, anyone you come across might just start to ask, why is it that you live differently? You seem to have different priorities from most people. What's going on with you? And then make the best of every opportunity to answer. Not to preach to them. That's not your job in that situation at all. Might never be your job at all to preach. But just to speak in natural conversation, explaining why it is you live differently. Oh, I belong to Jesus. I'm a member of his people, of his kingdom now. That's why you live his way, isn't it? It's why you live his way in the world, because that's your genuine, lived out Christian spirituality. And do your best to make sure that when you get into such conversations, they're full of grace, kindness, patience, love, gentleness, and so on. Making sure that it's seasoned with salt. That's an odd turn of phrase, isn't it? Well, salt enhances flavour, doesn't it? Have you ever forgotten to add a little bit of salt into potatoes or pasta or rice or something when cooking it? Doesn't taste too great at the end, does it, necessarily? Unless that's your preference. Just as salt enhances the flavour of food, so salty conversation enhances the worth of the conversation. Just a little sprinkle of Jesus as the opportunity arises. Do that, and you'll be making the most of every opportunity really, really well. And actually answering questions without even knowing you're answering them. The thought of saying something about Jesus to a friend or to a colleague or to a neighbour isn't meant to be a scary thing, because In those situations, we aren't called to give a full gospel outline. We're not called to be fully kind of tied up theologically and have everything sorted. Think about the rest of the world and the rest of things that people know about. Very few people know everything about anything. There's no reason why we have to have all the answers to be able to say something. It's okay not to know everything. Rather, just sprinkle our natural conversations with a little bit of salt, with a little bit of Jesus. Now, Paul gives us an example to follow. Someone who'd seen, who'd been a Christian a little bit longer than most of the Colossians. A man who'd started out as an unbelieving pagan from Colossae, a Colossian himself, just like the rest of the Colossians. A man who stuck with Jesus, just Jesus, and was rooted, built up, established and strengthened in the faith that he'd been taught. Just like the Colossians would be if they stick with Jesus and don't get taken captive by hollow arguments and deceptive ideas. Verse 12, look with me at verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. An ordinary Christian. And look what this ordinary, just like us, Christian was doing. He is always wrestling for you in prayer, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. What a wonderful Christian to have, who's praying that for his Christian friends back in Colossae. What a wonderful thing. Wouldn't it be great if all of us were praying, well, maybe we are, praying exactly that for all of our church family. What a wonderful thing that would be. And he's using his time wisely, working hard for the Colossians and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. This very ordinary Christian just stuck with Jesus and served him with his life. No special fancy lights and neon signs and stuff like that. He just got on with getting on. This isn't the first time we've met Epaphras, is it? He's mentioned way back in chapter 1 as the person through whom the rest of the Colossians first heard the gospel. He must have traveled somewhere, heard about Jesus, put his faith in him, and then when he'd returned back to Colossae, his conversation was seasoned with the salt of the gospel, with the salt of talk about Jesus. A very ordinary Christian man who God used in an extraordinary way as he just stuck with Jesus, as he just prayed, as he just used his time wisely and just seasoned his conversation with salt. What a model for the Colossians. What a model for us to take note of and to follow. So if you want to be more and more rooted in Christ, if you want to be more and more firmly built up in him, if you want to be more and more strengthened in your faith, and I hope that's all of us gathered here today and all of those of us who can't make it today, then here's an idea for you. Why don't you go back through Colossians by yourself, read it prayerfully and slowly. Read it for yourself over a few days or weeks even, maybe. Taking note of everything once again, just working through it between you and God. Find someone else who's been a Christian for a bit longer than you, or seems to have grown in their faith a bit more than you. Different Christians grow at different speeds, don't they, in their faith. Watch how it is that they live, how they pray, how they season their conversation with salt. Then copy them. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you could ask that person to read Colossians with you. You could read it together. And you could become more rooted, more built up, and more strengthened in Christ together as you help one another. What a wonderful thing that would be. Maybe parents with their children, maybe friends with friends. There's one more person I want to highlight as we close. Onesimus, chapter 4, verse 9. Another very ordinary Christian who served God as he was gifted. And we'll find out more about him as in a couple of weeks' time as we look at the letter to Philemon. We think that we know that the church of Colossae met in Philemon's house. Onesimus is mentioned here, and he's mentioned a lot in Philemon. We'll see rooted, built up, growing Christians in slow motion in Philemon. That's in 2 weeks' time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your letter to the Colossians. Thank you that we can learn so much from it. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you that through it you are rooting us. You are building us up. You're establishing us. You're strengthening us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you that you're doing this work in us individually and together as a church. Please would you do this more and more and more. And help us to live out our lives in Christ Jesus. And help us to be devoted to prayer. And help us to use our time wisely. We pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.